If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, tonight we're continuing our series on surviving the storms of life. And in this series, we're talking about God's principles for victorious living. How many want to live a victorious Christian life? Wave your hand at me. That's what it's all about. But see, the storms of life, they come, and they come to us all. And if you're going to survive the storms and the battles of life, Jesus said, you must build your life on the foundation of God's word. You know, I'm surprised at how many people that they allow their mind to run wild with them. And they imagine all types of thoughts about other people, when if they would renew their mind with the word of God, they would see a tremendous change in themselves. But look at Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And he said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, but it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The storms come to us all. The rains will descend. The floods of life, they will rise up against you. The winds will blow. They will beat upon your life. I promise you that. Tonight's lesson is entitled, Calming the Storm of the Mind. Calming the storm of the mind. There's a battle raging for your mind. And that's where the battleground is. It's in the human mind. And if you can ever get your mind under the control of God's word, you're on your way to victory. So tonight we're going to talk about calming the storms of your mind. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It gives us instructions, Lord, on how to live our lives, how to be victorious Christians, how to come forth more than a conqueror. And Lord, that's what you have purposed for each and every one of your children's lives, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Speak through me tonight, Lord, and I thank you for renewing our mind and giving us revelation. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. There are four primary aspects of the mind. With the mind, man thinks. With his mind, he imagines, he learns, and he understands. The human mind distinguishes man from all other creatures on this earth. With the mind, man has power to reason. He has the power to decide, and no other creature can do that. Why is that, Pastor? Because we are created in God's own image. We're the apex, the very apex of God's creation. He created everything, and he looked at it, and he said, that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. When he got to man, he said, that is very good. So what is man that thou art mindful him, or the son of man that thou visited him? That's made him a little lower than the angels, but has crowned him with glory and with honor. And God is mindful of us. God thinks about you. God loves you. God cares for you. And God has purpose a victorious life for you. Now, the storms come, and Jesus said, the storms will come. He said, there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, don't get me mixed up with him. He said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundant. And that's what this entire series is about, is the more abundant life. But the human mind, it distinguishes man from all other creatures on this planet. Look at 1 Peter 1:13. The Apostle Peter said, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, we need revelation. We need revelation, and that's why I'm I'm just stuck on that subject, knowing God and thinking God's thoughts. And I've got a lot of sermons running around, and some of them I got notes everywhere. But I'm going to put them there and just keep preaching that. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, not be overcome by the storms of life, but they'll overcome us through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. One translation says, prepare your mind. Another one says, brace your mind. Still another one says, prepare your mind for action. Don't be passive. Don't sit back. Don't say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, you have a mind. You have a willpower. And with the mind, man thinks. And with the willpower, man decides. And with his emotions, he reacts to the elements around him. And if you don't renew your mind and gird up the loins of your mind with the word of God, you will react in a carnal, fleshly manner. So that's what this study is all about, is girding up the loins of your mind. If you don't do that, I promise you something, the devil will do it for you. But he won't give you the word of God. He'll lie. He's the father of all liars. And that's all he can do, is lie, one lie after the other, and tell you that you're not who God said you are. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. We are what God said we are. We can do what God said we can do. We have what God said we have. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream. But greater it is to live life through and say at the end, the dream is true. See, God's the dream maker. And if you will think right thoughts and get your mind renewed by the word of God, God will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, he will put the dreams in there. When I first got saved, God was just doing so much for me. I said, man, you know, God has given me the desires of my heart. And one day I felt a shift in that thing. My life was so messed up. I really needed a lot done. But then one day I realized the desires in your heart are new desires. They're desires that God has put in there and his purpose for your life. And I began to realize my purpose in life. And if you'll study this book, you will learn your purpose in life. So don't let your mind run wild. If you do, the devil, he'll help you do that. I promise you that. But if you don't make your mind conform to what God wants it to be, it will never happen in your life. Never, never, never. Put 2 Timothy 2:15 up there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you don't study, and if you don't pray, if you don't renew your mind with the word of God, then you won't know what God's thoughts are. You won't know God's ways. And so this book is a wonderful book. It's the word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Glory to God. So if you don't make your mind conform to it will never happen. And you cannot blame anybody else for it but yourself. I just gave you a scripture. Put that back up, that 2 Timothy 2:15. God says, study to show yourself approved. And I'll show you some other scriptures. He said, so God said, for you, for me, for everyone to gird up the loins of their mind so we can control our thought life. Your mind will run wild with you. You'll see that as we go through this study. He wants us to be sober-minded. God does not want our minds filled with lustful thoughts. The devil will put all those in there that you will allow him to. The mind is a precious gift from God, and we should guard our minds. If you don't renew your mind with the word of God, you cannot blame anybody else but yourself. God said, for you, for me, for everyone to gird up the loins of our minds so we can control our thought life. He wants us to be sober-minded. Hallelujah. So the mind is a precious, precious gift. See, the mind of man has the power to reason. You can reason something out. You may not even know the answer. You know, calming the storms of the mind. The mind can get confused if you're not careful. But when you enter into the secret place of the Most High, when you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you know, the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He said, I will say and He will do. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. God wants us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen. So look at Romans 12 and 2. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. And then the apostle Paul comes along and he says, and be not conformed to this world. I mean, when we came out of darkness, we had the mindset of a sinner. We heard Brother Ray just testify how he got saved in Billy Graham's ministry. But I'll tell you one thing, the way he stayed saved is to get into that book and to gird up the loins of his mind and renew his mind with the word of God. Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, if you don't study the word of God, how can you know what God's perfect will is for your life? You can't even know what his good will is. You'll get all confused. But we're not confused. We're people who know our God. Glory unto the Bahaya. We are children of the Most High, and God gives us revelation. He said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So you can know God. You can know him intimately. And that's what he wants. He wants us to come to him to learn some great things from him. Point number one. There has been an age-long battle for the mind. It's an age-long battle. It didn't just start. Amen. The battle of the mind, it didn't just start with you and me. God wants the human mind under his divine subjection. When we renew our mind with the word of God, so our minds through the human spirit are controlled by the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. How can you know whether you're living there if you don't know the fruit? And it's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's the fruit of the human spirit. As you renew your mind by the word of God, and as you pray through those areas where you're struggling, God gives you the very mind of Christ. So you can know him and know him intimately. Hallelujah. So God wants the human mind under his subjection. It's with the mind we make decisions. So that's where the battle rages, right there. Between good and between evil. There's a battle going on. I've been on long extended fast and come off that fast, and all of a sudden, you know, I said, where did those thoughts come from? I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm seeking God. And the devil tries to inject those unclean thoughts into my mind. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, none of us are wearing halos yet. None of us have arrived. Hallelujah. We are still in the battle of the ages. And Paul said to suit up, put on the whole armor. So you're not wrestling flesh and blood. Put on the helmet of salvation. Somebody said, well, that's the most important part. No, it's all important. He said, have your loins girt about with truth. Yeah. And he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you salvation, righteousness, loins of truth, feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And then he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And most preachers stop right there and then put Ephesians 6:18 up there. Ephesians 6:18, that's the key. Right here's the key. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God wants us to be suited up because there's a battle that is going on right between our ears there. Amen. See, it's with the mind that we make decisions. And that's why I hate drugs. That's why I hate alcoholic addiction. I hate it so much because it causes the human mind and willpower to lay down. The psyche of man is the soul, S-O-U-L. The spirit is the pneuma, the born-again part of you. And you have to understand that you're a tripartite being, that you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. You were dead in sin and transgression, but he made you alive, and so you're alive unto God. So study the book, and you'll find out who you are. Hallelujah. But when a person lies down on their inside, they become a slave to the circumstances of life. I cannot tell you the battle that I had in my mind when I came back from war. I cannot explain it to anyone. But I can tell you one thing, that the Lord calmed the storm that was in my mind when I got saved. He's a great God. And see, I wouldn't give in to the circumstances of life. I wasn't saved, but I had a willpower. And you have a willpower. And you can rise up if you choose to, or you can just, you know, become addicted to something. Just lay down. No, no, no. Praise God, I'm going to rise up in Christ Jesus and make a difference in my life. Amen, and into my generation. So God gave us a mind so we could think, so we could reason, and so we can change the world around us. Point number two, the battle for the mind began in the Garden of Eden. It did not begin in the United States of America. It did not begin with you and me. It was in the garden that Satan sought to conquer Eve. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he warns us not to be deceived as Eve was deceived by the devil's cunning devices and his cunning thoughts. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, his cunningness, so your mind should be corrupted by the simplicity that is in Christ." The gospel is a simple gospel. God so loved the world that he gave. And some people, they reason and they have great mental acumen, great abilities. And I told the man I was witnessing to today, I said, "My brother had a hard time accepting God." I said, "He was brilliant. His mind was so smart. I mean, when you check in the 99th percentile in the nation at Duke University in word comprehension, you're pretty smart. 99th percentile." And he used to tell me, he said, "Jerry, you're the only one in the family that can understand me." I think he was setting me up for something, though, you know. But he was my brother, and I loved him. But I was able to share the gospel with him and to break that stronghold that was on his mind. And he told me one day, I would take my sermons and play them and carry him across town and talk to him about Jesus and just praying under my breath, asking God. And one day he told me, he said, "Jerry, I've made peace with God." He told me, he said, "I wished I had faith like you. I wished I could just accept it by faith." I said, "You can." But see, what he didn't know was I was doing battle all the time against those strongholds. And we look at those strongholds in a little bit. But the Bible lets us know that Eve was tricked and she was deceived by that lying serpent called the devil. And God does not want us to be led astray from a sincere, pure devotion to God. The devil wants you to have a passive mind so that it does not function for God. Let me show you some. See, Eve was not deceived. She was not deceived. It wasn't her decision to make. Brother, put 1 Timothy 2:14 up there. 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. She was deceived, but Adam was in charge. What does God put you in charge of? What does God expect from you when it comes to your family, to your home, to those that you come into contact with? See, Adam, he volitionally, willfully sinned. She was deceived. She was beguiled by the serpent. Don't let the devil do that to you. Renew your mind with the word of God, and then God will make you strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. See, the devil wants us to have a passive mind, a mind that just sort of lays down. Point number three, the battle rages on. There's a battle that is raging. I wish my points were up there, but it didn't come up, but I sent it that way. So you can write them down. The battle rages on. What is a passive mind? Well, according to the dictionary, to be passive is to give in without opposition or without resistance. To just let your willpower just lay down. Anybody can do that. You have to rise up and say, hey, wait a minute. I know who's causing this. I'm not wrestling flesh and blood. That person didn't do that. It's the devil. And I'm coming against you. I'm suited up. I'm full of God. I'm full of the word. I'm full of fire. I got the blood of Jesus. I got some mighty weapons. Got the Holy Ghost. And I just pray in tongues. I said, you can't stop this. I said, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. And I start praying in the Holy Ghost, and those demons he sent, they say, what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? I said, I don't know what he said. See, he understands French. He understands German. He understands English. He understands Spanish. But the devil hadn't got any Holy Ghost demons. So he can't understand us. Haramanda, Rimosha, Kandalibuku Shakabriyashata. Get so full of God, so full of the Spirit of God, that when you start praying, all of a sudden you're over there. And when your enemy shows up, hallelujah, you'll be able to defeat him in the name of Jesus. See, many times I'll be praying and the Holy Ghost say, don't pray that in English. Anybody ever had that happen? See, the devil understands English. And I've had the Holy Ghost check me and say, pray it in the spirit. And I just bypass him. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. We know not how to pray as we ought, but the spirit himself makes intercession for us. And he prays the perfect will of God. And so sometimes I'm just not going to let the devil know. The Holy Ghost, he will teach you, he will lead you, he will guide you. And I can promise you something. Somebody said, well, that's just something you Pentecostal people have learned. I said, no, it's not something I learned. It's a gift I have from God. I said, and I can prove it's not of the mind. I said, God created man so that you have to think what you're going to say. You cannot think about baking a chocolate cake and make lasagna. It's impossible. You have to think what you're going to say and what you're going to do. But I can pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I don't let my mind be passive, though. I pray around the world. I think about missionaries. I think about sick people. I think about lost people. I start just praying, hallelujah, and praying in the Holy Ghost, and let the Holy Ghost take my mind. And I don't let it be passive. And I let him pray his will through me. You have to learn some of these things, but I'm trying to give you a shortcut to some of them. If you haven't learned them, that God will check you at times. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Amen. But the devil wants you to have a passive mind so that it does not function for God. The passive mind just accepts things as the way they are. The passive mind is a blinded mind. Let's look at some scriptures regarding the passive mind, because it's a mind that just does not think God's thoughts. It just sort of lays down. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When I got saved, I said, Mother, I don't know why I didn't give my heart to Jesus as a little boy. She said, Son, you were blinded. You had blinders on. And when I read that scripture right there, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, the devil, had blinded the minds of sinners, those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I saw that thing and I said, that's what Mother was talking about. I got scripture for it now. And I told the devil, I said, every day I get up, I'm coming against your kingdom. I'm coming up out against you. That you were trying to drag me off to a devil's hill. I'll tell somebody about Jesus today. I'll pray for somebody. I'll preach a sermon. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell you what. If you expect your sinner friends to understand you, let me tell you something. Then you'll miss it a long, long ways. The Bible says the God of this world, the devil, has blinded them which believe not. They don't understand you. They don't understand. They cannot see the greatness of this salvation. God said it's a great salvation. How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? They cannot understand why you love the Lord. They cannot understand why you don't drink, why you don't go to the wild parties, why you don't commit adultery, and why you give the Lord 10% of your income. They cannot understand why you give to missions and why you support missionaries and why you feed the hungry and why you reach out and love with people. They just cannot understand it. Their minds are blinded by the God of this world. See, the devil wants the mind to be blinded so that people won't see Jesus. So they won't understand this great salvation. So they won't understand the goodness of God. God is a good God. So the passive mind is a blinded mind. Secondly, the passive mind is a reprobate mind. Look at Romans 1:28. Brother, go back and put Romans 1:26, 27, 28. I'll just read it along with you. Romans 1:26. And even talking about the age that we're living in and ungodliness and unclean things, men with men, women with women, it's nothing new. It didn't just start. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And look at this. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bearing in their lust one to another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in them that recompense or that punishment of their error, which they're going to receive. Amen. It'll just happen. And look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, a wicked, a immoral mind to do those things that are not convenient. All sorts of indecent things. Every pagan religion is in direct rebellion to God. All of those talk shows where they get up and make fun of God and preachers and that anti-Christ, anti-God spirit, those people, they are heathens. They need to be saved. They are pagans. Oh, we don't have any pagans in this country. Yes, you do. Better wake up. I mean, they shack up, sleep around, and then say, after they've done all that and put all kind of vile stuff out there and men with men and women with women on TV and then somebody gets caught and they say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. We're for women's rights. No, they aren't. They serve the devil. And you have to know that. And they need some strong preaching. God gave them, you know, over to a reprobate mind. because they chose not to know God. How many want to know God? I do. I don't intend to go to hell and spend eternity with the devil for anybody. And I'm going to try to keep everybody I can from going to that awful place. God is a good guy, good God. But, you know, we have to have our minds renewed by the word of God. See, there are not many ways to God, as some people want us to think. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. You know, most people may not realize this, but when Buddha was fumbling around trying to find the way out, God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Buddha was actually married to a woman who was a believer, and he tried to come up with something else. Amen. And Isaiah, the prophet, was speaking at the time Buddha was here. Said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And that shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He's going to be our Messiah, Jesus. Any religion that does not name the name of Jesus Christ is in direct rebellion to God. I don't care how good those people are. I don't care where they are in culture. They are in direct rebellion to God. God has revealed himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And any religion or anyone who rejects that, they reject God. Amen. You know, the writer of Hebrews says he is the brightness of God's glory. He is the expressed image of his person. Put John 1:18 in there. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. As you walk down through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and watch Jesus, it tells how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus said, no man has seen God at any time. Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. He said, I came to declare him. Said, no one has seen him. The only begotten son, which is in the bosom of the Father, which came out of his bosom, or which came out of the heart of God, he has declared him. And as you walk through the pages of the Bible, you see God declaring the Father. Aren't you glad that you know these wonderful truths and your mind is being renewed by the word of God? The Bible says to judge righteous judgment. The Bible says it's sin, and it's just that simple. You have to know that. Amen. Don't let your mind be passive. Don't make that mistake. The passive mind is a fleshly mind. Look at this. Colossians 2:18. It's a fleshly mind, the passive mind. It's not renewed by God's word. It doesn't see the necessity of it. Look at this. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. See, the mind, if you don't get it under control of God's word, it'll run wild. It'll just go every kind of way because the devil will take it there. And people, you know, that... They try to reason things out. Put Hebrews 11:6 up there, brother. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first principle of faith, you know, the Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. And then he said, the first principle of faith is you must believe in an invisible God that you cannot see. Well, Jesus is the visible representation of that invisible God. He told Thomas, said, Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, show us the Father. Jesus said, you're looking at him. Hallelujah. I am the word that was made flesh, and I came to declare my Father and to show you how good he is, that God so loved, told Nicodemus, that religious man, God so loved the world. Oh, we know thou art a man sent from God. No man can do these works except God be with him. He's a religious leader, member of the Sanhedrin court. Jesus cut right through the crux of the matter. He said, you must be born again. How can that be? How can I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? It's a mystery. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit, you must be born again of God's spirit. You who were dead in sin and transgression, has he quickened or made alive through faith in the blood and the substitutionary work of the cross. Hallelujah. Go and praise God for the cross. The preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. So the passive mind is a fleshly mind. These are the areas that the devil, he would like to bring us into areas of sin and degradation. And he does not want us to have the mind of Christ. He wants to blind us to what God wants in our lives today. God does not want us walking after the flesh and after the world. He does not want us walking in carnality. He wants us walking in the spirit. And when we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, walk in the spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For there's a war going on, and the spirit is warring against the flesh, and the flesh is warring against the spirit. You cannot do the things you would. And so you just have to decide, hey, hey, hey. God said, thou shall not. And that's God's way of saying, don't hurt myself. So I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to serve God. Hallelujah. Amen. The passive mind is a defiled mind. The devil will defile you if you let him. Look at Titus 1:15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. I tell you, the devil will take you further down than you would ever want to go. He is not a lifter. There's nothing good about him. He wants to defile your life, and he wants to mess you up and get your mind in such a turmoil that you can never, 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 never get your mind straightened out again. That's why people need to come to a good Holy Ghost-filled church. They need to hear the Word of God, because the Holy Ghost, he's the great teacher. But somebody's got to proclaim it. Somebody's got to take the Word and put it out there. Amen. So, you know, under the pure, all things are pure. The passive mind is a carnal mind. Look at this, Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. That's why we have to gird up the loins of our mind. That's why we have to renew our mind with the Word of God. The passive mind is a carnal mind, functioning always in the natural and normally in the sinful. I mean, know that when you in sin, your mind was always thinking, I'm going to the club. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to get around some people and we're going to dance, and your mind just goes crazy. And next thing you get drunk. Wake up the next day and say, what in the world did I do? You think it was bad when we were coming up? Look at the day's generation. See, the devil has come down in great power. He's trying to destroy the minds of our youth. And we need somebody to teach them. They want to go. I'm not against it that they want to go back and have their own thing. No, they need to set. They need to do that. But they need to sit on a man of God that is seasoned, that knows the Word of God, that can reach inside of them and pull that thing out of them. I can't tell you how many times I've reached inside the drug addict and the alcoholic and people bound with lust and things like that and just pull that thing right out of them. They said, I can't help myself. I said, that's a lie. I said, God sent me to set the captive free. And if they want to be free, you can free them. If they want to live there, guess what? That's exactly where they'll live. God gave man a willpower. And people need to know that you can be free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Being made free from sin, we become servants of God. We have our fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Truth will free anyone. It doesn't matter how far down you go. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all sin. You cannot go beyond God's mercy. His mercy is for everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. Brother Ray, you're going to have to sing that song sometime for me. Mercy Walked In. Go get that tape if you got it. I want that CD. I want you to sing that thing at the end of the service. Mercy Walked In. That's been in my spirit ever since I preached that seventh point. Put 2 Corinthians 1 and 2 Corinthians 1 and 3 up there. Put it up there, brother. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Isn't that wonderful? He is the Father of mercies, and the devil is the father of liars, and the devil's trying to corrupt our mind, trying to defile our mind, because he knows if we can just ever get this mind renewed by the word of God, then we will come forth more than a conqueror. Number four, the Christian must put to death the passive mind. He has to put it to death. Look at Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore. Paul had a lot to say on this subject matter. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. That word vanity, it means in the emptiness of their mind. Can you imagine what the devil would do with an empty mind? He'll fill it with all his junk. That's why the Lord said, gird up the loins of your mind. That's why Paul said, renew your mind with the word of God. There's a battle going on, and you're the one. You're the one that determines whether or not you come forth more than a conqueror. I don't know what hit me Sunday night. I don't think I've ever hurt like I hurt. I just don't. And my arms hurt, my shoulders hurt, my back hurt, my chest hurt, my legs hurt. I laid in that bed and I quoted Psalm 91 to 3 a.m. in the morning, fourth watch. Jesus come walking. Because guess what? Boom, that thing broke. Whatever it was. I told the devil, I said, you're not putting that junk on me. I went to the doctor today to make sure I wasn't contagious. Ain't got nothing. He said, whatever it was, he said, your body fought it off. I said, I laid in the bed and I quoted Psalms 91 way into the night. He said, will you quote it for me? And I just rattled it off to him. What an open door. Ain't God a great God? Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Go on praising. An empty mind is a mind that's waiting for some external power to activate it. The devil wants your mind to be empty. You know, people say, you've heard people say, I just can't remember as much as I used to remember. I tell people, I said, you keep talking like that, and I promise you something, you won't be able to remember anything. God said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm who God said I am. This is my Bible. I am what God said I am. I have what he said I have. I can do what he said I can do. Today I be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you one last scripture. This was my Gibraltar scripture right here. Philippians 4:8. There are eight places here that God tells us to think. And I memorized this because when I got saved, my mind, it tried to go back to the things I did as a sinner. I was saved. I was sanctified. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. But the devil tried to take my mind back into lustful places. He would try to remind me of my past. Put 2 Corinthians 5:17 up before we go there. It's another one of my Gibraltar scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Christ. But I came to realize you're a new creature, but you're going to have to renew your mind. You can't just take one verse. And then this was the one right here to help me. Philippians 4:8. Paul is writing to the scriptures and to the church there in Philippi. He said, finally, brethren, look at these eight areas. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't let your mind run wild. Don't let the devil fill it with wrong stuff. God said there are 8 points in that scripture that something must fit. Is it true? Yeah. They did me wrong. Is it honest? No. Is it lovely? No. Is it pure? No. Don't think on it. It's a fact. They wronged you. But don't let the devil take your mind there. Get out the book. Say, Father, Jesus said, if I don't forgive, neither will you forgive me. I want my prayers answered, Father, so I forgive them. I release them. My mind has been renewed by the word of God. Can you imagine the victories that the church could live in if they would become doers of the word? Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. When the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon that house, storms are coming, it fell not, because it was founded upon the rock. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man. The same thing happened. The rain descended. The floods came. The wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. They said, oh, that was a nice sermon. Oh, yeah. Well, you don't need a nice sermon. What you need is the word of God to go into your heart. It has to go in through the gateway of the mind. It can't get in there any other way. That's the gateway to the spirit. You heard the gospel preached and you accepted it. You said, I'm changing my mind about God. I thought sin was such a pleasure. Oh no, it's destroying me. I need a savior. So, Pastor Rick, if you'd come, I'm going to give you one last thing about the passive mind. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:13. 2 Corinthians 10:13. For though we walk in the flesh, I'm in a fleshly body, you're in the fleshly body. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. We're fighting a supernatural battle. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. I talked about that carnal mind. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, pulling down the devil's stronghold, casting down imaginations. Oh, they did that to me. Cast it down. Oh, you don't know how deep it cut me. Cast it down. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is with the devil. And he's after your mind. Because if he can get your mind, he'll get your spirit. He will blind your mind to the glorious gospel. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our weapons are mighty through God. We pull down those strongholds. We cast down imaginations and high thought, and we bring everything into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And He's the Word. Don't you love your Bible? Let us stand. Hallelujah. So I encourage you, to renew your mind with the Word of God. And when you get your mind under a proper control of the Spirit, a dramatic change will come in your life. And guess what? You won't gossip about people. Don't dig somebody's, God help me, don't dig somebody's past up. When it's under the blood of Jesus, God doesn't like that. You don't need to tell something about somebody that failed. Do you want them to open your closet door and look inside at your skeletons? I don't want them looking inside mine. I just say, God, your grace is sufficient, and your blood cleanses from all sin. And so I have people say, I'm not gossiping. I just want to tell you. Yes, you are. If you got to say I'm not gossiping, you're gossiping. And you need to stop it. Who am I talking to? Get your mind renewed by the Word of God, and I promise you to make you love everybody. Let's sing, Pastor Ricky.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you are great. You do miracles so great.
Yes, Lord.
There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
There is no one else like you.
You're great, Lord. You're the great one. Hallelujah.
Oh, you are great.
Yes.
You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one
else. Let's worship Him, church. He's a great God. Think about this great salvation. Think about coming out of darkness into the marvelous light. Sing it from your heart. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
No one else like you.
There is no one else like you. For you are great. So great.
Brother Ray, come on up.
There is no one like you.
I asked Brother Ray to sing this song when Mercy walked in. It's been in my spirit ever since I preached that final point Sunday morning. That God is the Father of mercies. I'm so thankful.
Hallelujah.
For God's mercy. You're looking at a man, if someone ever needed mercy, I'm that man. And I tell you, it makes me love Him so much. I want to go the extra mile. Because He went all the way to Calvary for me. Brother Ray.
Praise God. He didn't give me what I deserved, but He gave me mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. Looks like What do you say? Well, I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense, but that's when His mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in, and it pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. Blood was presented, and it paid for my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Praise God.
Thank God for that mercy.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
I stood there and wondered, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free.
Glory.
Well, my chains,
yes,
were broken.
Glory.
I felt born again.
Woo!
The moment that mercy walked in.
Sing it with me. Hallelujah.
Mercy walked in. And it pleaded my case, called to the stand of God's saving grace. The blood was presented, and it paid for my sin. Forgiven with mercy.
Get better every day. Just go ahead, I can play it.
Mercy walked in.
If you're riding and
it pleaded,
your ride is ready to go and you need to, then go on, and Sister Carolyn is waiting for you. Others that would like to just enjoy this because of God's mercy.
And it paid for my sin. Forgiven when mercy woke in. Oh, mercy walked in. Pleaded my case. Called to the stand of God. It paid for my sins. Forgiven when mercy woke in. Oh, the blood was presented, and it paid.